I want to welcome Mr. David Johnkin to mourn tonight in the Saviour's name. It is good to renew fellowship with David. And David came across our path some years back in a little church in Garva. He lives outside Ballaghy. We've had a blessed friendship over the years. And the Lord has answered many prayers for him. And there's no doubt he will touch upon tonight. And one of those prayers is he's got a woman, he's got a fiancé. As I said this morning, he's planning to get married next year, so maybe I got it wrong this morning. I need to pray for him, I need to pray for Naomi. And we trust and pray the Lord will bless them as they set out in married life together. But we are thankful that our brother has been able to come tonight to testify and to speak a word from the Scriptures. And we trust and pray the Lord will bless him now as he comes to us.
Well, the privilege is all mine this evening to be here down in the Kingdom of Mourne to renew fellowship once again with my good friend and brother, Mr. Patterson, but more importantly, to be here tonight to testify of God's saving and God's keeping grace in the life. I want you to turn in the Word of God, please, to a few passages. It's quite warm outside, so I don't want any man, any woman, any boy or girl sleeping tonight. So I'm going to keep you working. We're going to turn to Lamentations chapter 1, please. Lamentations chapter 1. And then we're going to jump from the Old Testament into the New, to the book of Revelation, and then finish off in Luke chapter 16. Lamentations chapter 1, please. And the verse number 12, Lamentations 1, and the verse number 12. The Word of God declares, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord have afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." You see, child of God, tonight, it's not nothing to me. I want to tell you something, it's not something to me, but it's everything to me. There were those that day on the cross and they passed by. And the Christ of God dying meant so little. Thank God for a sinner saved by grace. It's everything. Everything. So may turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and one verse of scripture here. And this is probably my testimony verse. The night God brought me back into the fold. This was the verse that God used. Revelation 12 and verse number 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death." Then we're going to finish off tonight in our reading of the Word of God in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, we know the passage well. There's a rich man and he's in hell. And can I tell you, this rich man's still in hell. For hell is no fire exits. And tonight he's still looking for that water. And you see, the things in time, repentance meant nothing to him. Prayer meant nothing to him. Lazarus meant nothing to him. But they became very important. And there is just one verse in this passage, and it is indeed in verse 25. "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Just two words in that text of Scripture, and these tonight that God has laid upon my heart. Son, remember. With the Word of God open, let's just bow. And a word of prayer, please. our gracious God and loving Father in heaven. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that has went before. We thank Thee, Lord, for hymns that we can sing out of a heart that has truly been redeemed. We thank Thee tonight that there's power in the blood of Christ. And, oh, Father, we come in Jesus' name. And, Lord, our one desire is to exalt the person of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray tonight, O loving Father in heaven, that Thou would send forth the Holy Ghost to exalt Jesus Christ and to expose sin and to bring man and woman to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray tonight for a son. Pray, O God, for a son in this meeting that has been well prayed for, that tonight is unconcerned about their soul. We pray tonight that Thou would bring them to Jesus Christ. Father, we thank Thee that the one that's mighty to save, thank God tonight, His name is called Jesus. And Father, we cry, O God, now that Thou would give help and testimony and the closing in Thy word, in Jesus' precious and lovely and worthy name. Amen. As our brother has said, it is my privilege to be here tonight, and I was going to say your new church, but it's not new, but it's well decorated from the last time I was down. What a privilege it is to be here to testify. My name indeed is David Junkin. I was born into a little village in County Londonderry, into a family of five. My mother and father both saved. I have an older sister and a twin brother. You see, friend, tonight, what a privilege I had to be born into a Christian home. Wasn't born into a rich home. Born into a home where mom and dad are saved and prayed for this boy. What a privilege. I was sent to a gospel preaching church. I was sent to Mockerfell Free Presbyterian Church. What a privilege that was too. That saved Sunday school teachers would tell me about Daniel in the Bible. They would tell me about Nehemiah in the Bible. They would tell me of wonderful stories in the Bible, but they always told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What an honor. You see, I thank God for a faithful mother and father. When I was a young boy, it wasn't, David, are you going to Sunday school? You see, we live in a day and generation. I often say it, that how that many years ago in Christian homes, the man had authority in the home. You see, the authority left the man and went to the woman. And tonight you say to me, David, is there still authority in the home? Yes, there is. But the children have it. How often we hear men and women coming and saying, if they go and ask, does wee Sammy want to go to Sunday school? And Sammy says, no, Sammy's not going. Well, thank God I had a mother and father that sent me faithfully. Week in, week out. You see, I knew as a little boy, I knew that I was a sinner. Born in sin and shipping in iniquity. You see, I knew by God's word that I was lost. Sinner tonight in Kilkeel Free Presbyterian Church, do you realize that tonight? Do you realize that the Bible says that you are but one step, just one step away from death? And for you tonight that's not saved, that is one step away from hell for all eternity. You see, man and woman, tonight I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I had told lies. And you see, society tonight, they might say they're only wee white lies. And society might say they're business lies. I want to tell you, man and woman, it's sin. And it's transgression against God. And God hates sin. God hates it. And you see, I knew that I had told lies. And that made me as a wee boy a liar against God. I knew that I had stole things from daddy's jeans when he came in to get a few pounds. I knew that I had stole pencils and sharpeners at primary school. That brought me in as a thief before God. And yet the Bible says that most men proclaim their own goodness. You go down the street tonight in Kilkeel and you stop a man and you say, "Are you a good fella?" Boys, he'll give you a list as long as his arm, how good he is. And yet just ask a few questions. Have you ever told a lie, sir? And if he says yes, which he should, the Bible says that all men are liars. It brings them in guilty before God. You see, with this upbringing, I remember one night in Macrofell Free Presbyterian Church, I remember as a young boy giving my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember that night after the meeting was over, running about the car park, singing, running about. Something very interesting. On the way home that evening, there was bad things going on in our land. There's nothing really new under the sun, is there? That night, the army were in patrol in Balaki. And I remember they were stopping. And you know what most parents do? They look around. Have you got your belt on? Have your belts on? I had the belt on that night. And I remember as that army man stopped, he put the light in. And my words as a wee boy that night were these: everything's going to be okay. I get saved tonight. I get saved tonight. You say, "David, why do you tell that story?" My mother takes an elderly woman to the prayer meeting. She was at a meeting one night. Something similar like this, a testimony meeting. And there was a man testifying, and he was indeed in the army. He said he was on patrol one night. And he said the words of a young man never left him. "I get saved tonight. Everything's going to be okay." That man later in life would come to Christ because of the words of a little man, a little boy, Sunday school teacher, children's meeting worker. Doesn't God's word declare a little child shall lead them? It's interesting that our sister Joyce Walsh is here tonight. I just was thinking when her brother said her name, another chain in the life of David Junkin taught me the word of God. You see, I remember witnessing to my cousins. Remember witnessing to Granny and Granda. And you know how a young child can pierce the heart. Remember saying to Granny and Granda, "Are you saved, Granny and Granda? Are you saved?" And then I don't even think I gave them time to answer. And I said, "If you're not saved, you're going to hell." I want to tell you tonight, unsaved friend, with all the love in my heart, if you're not saved, nothing that defileth shall enter in. And you're not going to heaven. You're going to God's hell. You see, I went through primary school. The only bit of fun I had out of it was my twin brother. We were very, very identical then. Now, if Mark came in tonight, you would know that he sat at the table a little longer. We're not just as identical. But back then, it was a lot of fun. We changed our name badges a lot. People always called me Mark when I was David, and people called Mark David, and it was fun. But I remember, as a young boy, my grandfather bought a tractor. My uncle wanted to take us for a sail in this new tractor. And I went along with my sister and my brother, and I was standing at the door. And just when we were coming in round the gable of the house, I was standing at the door, and the door wasn't shut right, and I fell out of that tractor. And I was so close to being killed. But God's hand, even at a young age, God protected me. But it was one of the best blessings I ever had in life. You say, "David, how?" Well, it put me off farming forever. And I was no more interested in tractors or grass or cows or silage. Not interested in the slightest. You say, I left primary school. I went to Macrofield High School. And I must honestly say that it's probably a blueprint probably the blueprint of a lot of Christians to come and give a word of testimony where it all went wrong. And I'll tell you, high school it was for me. As a young boy, I had childlike faith. I read the Word of God and I prayed every day. But you see, when I went to the bigger school, I didn't get into Christian company. And I tell you tonight, your company will either make you or break you. And there's a lot of young people in here tonight. Your company will either make you or break you. I can tell a lot about people by the company that they keep. And I went through high school, and I left off praying. And I left off reading the Word of God as a wee boy. And then you see, the devil's a great occupier. You leave off with the things of God, and maybe tonight there's one in the meeting, Mr. Patterson doesn't know that you've left off with the Word of God, or you've left off with praying, but you know. You know what the devil will do to you, sir? You know what the devil will do to you, dear? He'll fill your life with something else, just to fill that space. What was it for me? It was football. I just wanted to play football. I had no interest in high school. None whatsoever. It was, when's football practice? Lived and ate and slept and drank football. That's all I did. You see, I went through high school, and I must say this, at about 12 or 13, my father started to backslide. Another brother in the Lord did something on him that wasn't right. The Bible declares that a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. I was brought up in a home where there was no television on the Lord's day. Would to God that children of God get back to that. So many of God's people go to church on the Lord's Day and pay into a church and sing and all looks well and yet go home and watch the television on the Lord's Day. If that's you tonight, shame on you. Shame on you. But I seen things going on in the home that I wasn't used to. Television been on. Daddy no longer in the Word of God. Daddy no longer on his knees in prayer. I don't blame my father for me not taking my stand at high school, but it had an impact. I remember Peter went fishing. Not so long after, a few men went with him. You see, I thank God for a faithful wee mother. I never was allowed to go to the cinema. I never was allowed to go to the discos. And they made a song about me at high school. It went something like this, D-I-S-C-O. Junkies not allowed to go. And boys, I didn't like it. And I didn't like Mum not allowing me to go. And I wasn't that interested in music or the dancing. But everybody else was doing it. And I'll tell you tonight, there was those who professed faith in Christ. And they were sending their children to it. But yet my mother, and she was getting it tight in the home. Thank God that she never let her children go to the disco. And you see, I left high school. And I think I am the only man that ever done this. I passed my exams twice. I passed them on the way in, and I passed them on the way out. And the only level I have is a spirit level. Because I am indeed a brick there. As I said, I had no interest in school. I left school and I wanted to serve my time as a brick there. My father was a brick there and still is to this day. If you said to me tonight, David, if you had it to do all over again, would you do it? And I would say no. You say, why? You see, the law of first mention is a very good one if you're ever going to speak. And the first time bondage is used in the Bible is to do with brick and mortar. And I was thinking about this. Many times you come and a man will come with a load of blocks and he'll drop them in with a machine. And then a man will come with sand and he'll drop it off of a machine. And then they'll come with sills and heads and they'll drop it off of a machine. But the only machines that we have to use all those different things is two hands. But thank God for health and strength to work. And there I was as a young man, not walking with God. And then you see you get independence and you get money. What was my God? Football. You see, the football at high school, it wasn't, you could keep a cap on it, it was okay. But you see, then when you grow up, you no longer pray for an under 16 football team. You go and play for a man's team. Do you know where you're at then before the matches? Aye, the bookies. Do you know where you're at then after the matches? The pub. And then do you know where you're at later on in the night to either celebrate or drown your sorrows? Aye, the nightclubs. And you see, friend, tonight from 16, I can honestly say, to about the age of 22 years of age, for 5 and 6 years of my life was just a hamster going around and around on a wheel. And I was getting deeper and deeper into sin. And I ran from God. I'm not here tonight to tell you what I did. I'm not here tonight to glorify the enemy. But I was a young man that got deep into sin. But thank God, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. You see, my mother convicted me in her knees. Very rarely would Mum ever have took me into the corner and said, what you're doing is wrong, where you're going is wrong. You know where Mum convicted me at? Every morning walking down the hall, there I seen my mother on her knees praying for her boys. Mother, tonight, if you got a lot of boys and a lot of girls in the home and they're no use, and they're making shipwreck of their lives and their careers and everything's going wrong, I want to tell you, pray on. Pray on. You see, there was one young man that took a great, great influence, and he had a great influence and still has to this day in the life. And what a, you all know him, Mr. David Stewart out of Portland on Free. He took a burden for this young man. He took a burden for the soul. And boys, he wept. And he prayed. And they got a promise from God for myself and a few others. And he prayed and he wept for me. Out of respect for our brother, I used to go to a lot of gospel meetings. Boys, I did. I never let him down. You say, David, why? Because I like a man that's genuine. I like a man that's genuine, and I knew he was. When he said he was praying for me, he was praying for me. But you see, when I went to meetings, because of getting deeper into sin and further from the Christ of God, and further from God's word and prayer and the means of grace, I often walked out of gospel meetings, and yes, I heard the voice of God. But because of the allurement of sin, I often walked out, not heeding the Spirit's voice. Tell me tonight, many times ye sat and mourned Free Presbyterian Church. Many times have ye trampled the blood of Jesus Christ under your feet, and counting Christ's work as nothing. Why tonight should you hear the gospel twice, when there's multitudes and millions across our land who have never heard it once? And yet, I was the God. You see, I remember hearing a man's testimony. And he was saved through the late Ivan Thompson. You know the verse that he read that night when he testified? It was, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. God really spoke to me. But in 2005... I started a relationship with a girl. A relationship that I would say tonight that took me further from God and deeper and deeper into sin. My mother said, David will never, never come back to the Lord when he is in this relationship. But I thank God, men and women tonight, young people tonight, God knows every man's breaking point. God knows. And you see, I went into this relationship and further away from the Christ of God. But what did God do? God was going to break me. This relationship was just going to end. And there I was in the month of February 2007, 2 years later, a broken-hearted young man. I remember coming home from work one wet Wednesday. I remember coming home in bad, bad form. Lifted a tip. Lifted three tips. The middle tip was the man preaching by the name of who? Ivan Thompson. God really spoke. That night I was crying in the kitchen, and my father, who's still not in communion with the Lord, he says to me, David, he says, what's wrong? I says, God's speaking. His words were these, of God speaking, don't resist. I remember on the Friday night, imagine, I tried the broken cisterns. And there I was, a broken-hearted young man. What did I turn to? I didn't turn to the bookies. I didn't turn to the nightclubs. I didn't turn to my companions, for they weren't there. I turned to the Word of God. I remember listening to Tom Martin on the Friday night. And on the Sunday, to my shame, I was sitting watching the stupid old television. Silly old football match. Not brought up to do that. Mr. Stewart rang and he says, David, would you come to church tonight? I says, I will. I remember shaving that night and just closing my eyes and just saying, Lord, speak to me. It wasn't a big fancy prayer, but I'll tell you what it was, men and women. It was from that. What did Mr. McCrae preach on that night? Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You see, if you know Mr. McCrae, I'm sure most of you do, he went on preaching on life for about an hour. He went round the world, back round the world, in the world, out of the world, round the world, story after story. But I took confidence out of this. If Mr. McCrae hadn't said anything else after reading the Word of God, I was coming back. You see, man, it's not homiletics. And it's not hermeneutics. And it's not headlines. It's the Holy Ghost. And that night, as Mr. McCrae made the appeal, I remember putting my hand up. My twin brother sat beside me that night. And he sort of hit me in the leg and he says, you're doing the right thing. I remember going down that night into the cryo room. Tears tripled me. Tears of guilt. I went into that room that night and I just prayed, Lord, restore me and make me a man of God. That's all I asked. You say, David, what did you get that night? I'll tell you, I got something nothing in this world can give you. I got something tonight that the world is looking for, but they don't want it. Peace through the blood of the cross. Burdens are lifted. Calvary. You see, I always said to Mr. Should, I want the real thing. I don't want sham. And you see, we live in a wee island tonight, a wee land of Ulster tonight, and I tell you, men and women, we need to pray. Because our land's been full of sham. Men putting feet up and foot up and our hands up and signing cards, and next week back in the bookies, and next week back at drink. I want to tell you tonight, that's not Christianity. That's sham. Thank God tonight Jesus Christ saves from sin. Thank God tonight the gospel changes. And I wanted the real thing, and thank God on the 25th of February I got the real thing. See, my brother then was unsaved. He said to me one night, he says, what did Willie McCrae do to you that night in the room? Did he brainwash you? And I says, Mark, my brain needed washed, and thank God it was washed in the blood of the Lamb. But he couldn't believe the change in the life. You see, I started and had a hunger for the Word of God. Where was I found the next week? That next week, after coming back to the Lord, I was in Macrofell Free's prayer meeting praying. Honestly, I'll never forget it, the first time praying, that first week after praying publicly in a prayer meeting. I just thought God was on the knee. Such was the presence and the reality. I got a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember buying gospel tracts and taking out the yellow pages for weeks and for months. And what I done was I just left at any address and sent gospel tracts right across the province for weeks. You see, I believe God will save souls out of that. Why? Because his word will not return void. And I'll not befit the bum and blow about it. You see, I got a love for the Lord Jesus. I got a love for prayer. I started to listen to, I'm going to say this, our brother knows this behind me. I started to listen to Pastor Willie Mullen. What a privilege it was for me to come home at night. To come home every night and couldn't wait to get dinner and the teeth washed and into the room to listen to the Word of God. You see, Mark didn't like it. I had him up maybe slightly too loud. And you see, I had a desire for the work of God. I had a desire to see sinners saved. And I remember there was a mission in Macrofelt, and God used us to bring 20 to 30 unsaved souls in onto that mission for 3 weeks in Macrofelt. Child of God tonight, can I ask you honestly and genuinely before the Lord, have you got a desire for your own kith and kin? There's people tonight in your families and they're going to hell. Are you concerned? No point, sir. No point, dear, crying when they're into God's hell. Have you got a burden tonight for the town of Kilkeel? Have you got a burden that your loved ones will be saved? I left Macrofell Free and the Lord showed this very clearly. There was no fallout. I've been back preaching there and went to Israel there. But the Lord showed us clearly to go to Garver Free Presbyterian Church. There was a man by the name of, well, Mr. Andrew Patterson was there at that time. And I must say what a privilege it was to hear God's servant preach the Word of God. Every week I could say, like, old Ehud, I have a message from God unto thee. It's something. He had a handful of purpose week in and week out for my soul. What a privilege we had to go into different places and to preach the word and to share pulpits and for me to testify and give out tracts and to speak at band parades and different things. And what a privilege it was. And I was loving life. And then God, what did he do? He started opening doors to preach the word of God. God opened a few doors to preach in gospel missions. I'll never forget that first gospel mission coming home from the building site about 3 o'clock and getting on my knees about 2 to 3 hours praying and crying like a baby. And I tell you, friends, I'm not here to bum David Junkin. I wish I had it back. I wish I had back what I had years ago. That first gospel mission crying my eyes out for souls. And God was bringing many in. I remember I was supposed to preach one night in Portland on Free's prayer meeting, and the night before I broke the leg of playing football. My title for the next night was Christ is the answer in the storms of life. You know what I was going to find out? Christ is the answer in the storms of life. And then you see, more opportunities came, and I remember preaching in a mission, and a man said to me, and he said, I knew better. He said after the meeting, he says, have you not got a woman yet, young Junkin? And boys, I hated that. Preaching about eternity. Standing between the dead and the living. And a man would say, have you not got a woman yet, young Junkin? And as much grace as I had, I said, well, Adam was in the Garden of Eden and there was nobody. And God brought a woman to Adam. And if he was in a bad position, God still provided, so he'd still be fit to provide for me. You see, the people around him, they started to laugh, and you know, I never had to answer that question again. But I remember preaching at a gospel mission one Thursday evening, and Naomi came into the meeting that night. And then the following Thursday night, Naomi came into the meeting that following week. And then the Friday night, Naomi came into that meeting again. And tonight she's still in the meeting. But we grew up a friendship. Naomi was going to serve the Lord in Kenya. And we started to speak regularly and we were praying about it. And I remember before Naomi went to Kenya, never forget it, a good godly man, a good godly friend of mine, he had a text message supposed to be sent about 2 days earlier, but God told him, don't send it. About 3 days after they sent it, and it was a message at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was this, God brought the woman unto the man. I wanted something else. I remember Naomi was in Kenya. And in Genesis, how that the unnamed servant was going out to search a woman, search a bride. God spoke to me that night and says, David, your bride's in a different land tonight. And then I just wanted something else. And I remember when Naomi came home from Kenya, how that God spoke to me. And he said, this is the way, walk ye in it. And he gave me a verse in Ruth, and it's very interesting. The first time David is mentioned in God's word, do you know whose name is actually in the verse of David's first time he's mentioned? Naomi. And you see, I never had a girlfriend, never, when I got right with God. I don't believe in this. You take one woman for a month or two, and then you get rid of her, and then another one. I want to tell you tonight, young person, there's nothing godly about that. And I wanted my next girlfriend to be my wife. And then you see, when you get a woman, you yell her, as old Nicholson said, yell her, marry him. You fall in love, yell her, marry him or bury him. And last year we got engaged in London. And we're getting married next year. But you see, I had a twin brother and I loved him. We were so close, so close. And he used to mock me. And he used to laugh. And he had all the privileges I had too. But it was so hard. And I'll tell you, if I was bad, he was 10 times worse. We took him to a meeting last year in Portland Own Free. Things was going wrong in his life. Mr. Stewart was reading from the Old Testament, the man of Manasseh, the man that killed his own children. And as Mr. Stewart was reading, I just said to Mark, I said, he's a bad boy. Mark said to me in the way he would normally say it, he says, this book's full of bad boys. Mr. Stewart preached that night. I took Mark home. I was leaving my great uncle home. And something told me, it was the Spirit of God, he's going to ask you to take him back to the church to get saved. I had dropped off my uncle Danny, and Mark said to me, can you take me back to the church? Took him back, and I actually went back to the manse in Portland Owen. Me and Mrs. Stewart were down praying. But half an hour later, he came down and he says, David, I've got saved. You've heard of the Wesley brothers. What about the Junkin brothers? And I tell you, what a change in Mark's life. What a change. I said to him a couple of days after you saved, I said, do you want to come into my room and pray with me? I says, Mark, now don't be getting worried if I pray a bit longer and a bit more phrases. I says, forget about that. I says, you just pray from the heart. Remember that night, we had a wee time of prayer together. He ran down to Daddy and he says to Daddy, we've just had our first prayer meeting. And I can tell you, there's a young man, he's changed by the grace of God and he loves the Lord. My mother prayed for her daddy for 27 years. She got a promise from the Lord. You do a brave bit of praying in 27 years and I tell you, the devil will sit on you and say, hath God said? Hath God said? Well, thank God tonight he's not a man that he cannot lie. And I tell you, my mother had the joy of pointing her daddy to the Lord a few days before he died. Child of God tonight, if you've got a promise that your children will be saved, Your children's going to be taught of the Lord, and tonight they're wild and far from Jesus Christ. I'll tell you tonight, if you had been the daddy of the prodigal, what would you have thought? What would you have thought when you heard the news, what sin he was getting up to, and how would you react it? I'll tell you, the prodigal son going to the far country was bringing him closer to Christ. Closer to Christ. And I tell you, child of God, tonight, if you've got a promise, you pray on. And you plead on. You see, tonight, you've heard my testimony. I can say tonight, son, remember. I can remember how that Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God has intervened in my life and saved my soul. And thank God he's delivered me from the hand of the enemy. What about you tonight? Son, in this meeting, where art thou? You see, we read tonight of a story of a rich man. He's in hell tonight. And I tell you, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he found no repentance. He didn't repent of his sin. What about you tonight in this meeting? Young man, older man. Have you not repented of your sin? Your awful sin against a holy God. Imagine tonight. Imagine tonight you in this meeting who's not saved. You sit in a condemned seat, sir. You don't need to die to be condemned. The Bible says that he that believeth not is condemned already. And I'll tell you, it's not a county court that you're condemned by. And it's not the court in Belfast. It's heaven's court condemns you. You see, this rich man, he went to hell because of his sin. What about you tonight? Son, remember that you've sinned against God. God's angry with the wicked every day. You see, this rich man in this passage of Scripture, he knew Scripture. Son, remember how that, didn't he say, Abraham saith unto him, thou have Moses and the prophets. Moses, the first five books of the law and the prophets. This rich man, he had an understanding of Scripture. How many times, and our brother's only been here 4.5 years, how many times have you been here under this man's ministry? Or Mr. Mercer's, or men that has went before, and tonight you're still not saved. And tonight you could come up and you could preach the gospel. You've an understanding of Scripture. You know that Jesus Christ died for sin. You know that the blood of the Lamb was shed for sinners. You know that Christ was raised from the dead. But tonight, your understanding of Scripture, but you're still in darkness, and you're not saved. Imagine tonight going from a Free Presbyterian church or any evangelical church that preaches the gospel from the pew to the pit of hell, knowing the Scripture. I think of Judas, how he heard Christ pray, how that he knew the Scripture. And his last words, I've betrayed the innocent blood. I tell you tonight, friend, what are you selling Jesus Christ for? What are you selling Christ for tonight? And you see, this man, he had an understanding of Scripture. I'll tell you, he had one that supplicated for him. You say, David, what do you mean? Didn't he say, for I have five brethren that he may testify? You know what that tells me? That tells me that this rich man, he knew that Lazarus testified to him. And now he wants Lazarus to go and testify to his brothers. And it's a Greek word that means to have strong compulsions, to really earnestly plead. And I was thinking of this man, Lazarus, if he earnestly pleaded, do you not think he earnestly prayed? And I tell you, son, wherever you're at tonight, you've maybe got a mother at home and she's been praying for your soul and you've broke her heart. And you've got a pastor here that'll pray for you and want you saved. And you've got men and women in this congregation that has got an interest in your soul and you're not saved. What must it be like? What must it be like to be so gospel privileged? some remember. But to die and go to God's hell, you see, this man, he's sentenced in hell. He had an understanding of Scripture. He had an understanding of men supplicating for him, but yet it's not over for him. You see, there's no soul annihilation, no purgatory. This man's going to the second death, the lake of fire. You ever think, unsaved friend, tonight, how the evangelical prophet Isaiah said, therefore hell have enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure? Do you ever think what he says, Isaiah in 14 and verse 9, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Imagine tonight if hell was moving tonight to meet one out of Kilkeel Free Presbyterian Church to meet thee at thy coming. Son, remember. I want to tell you tonight in closing, and I'm finished. Son, remember the Savior. Remember the one who came and lived a perfect life. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was indeed the root out of the dry ground. The one indeed who men laughed. Interestingly, as I said, he is despised and was despised. And I tell you, he came and he lived a perfect life. And I want you, son, to remember that Jesus Christ came. And he went to the very cross of Calvary where men would spit upon the princely face of Jesus Christ. Men by brutality and force would take the hairs of his face and pluck them. Men would come and buffet the very face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men would take a crown of thorns. Imagine the only crown that Christ would wear on earth. A crown that spoke of the curse. How they beat it upon his beautiful brow. And then they would take him and tie him to a scourging pole, and men would lacerate his back. And then they would put a robe upon his back and cry, "Ah, hail thou, King of the Jews." And I tell you, they took him outside the city walls and they stripped him stark naked. And they lifted him high and dropped him low. What a picture, the Son of God, the one who's full of grace and full of truth. And yet on that cross, he would cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I tell you, he was forsaken for you, friend. The wrath of God was poured upon Jesus Christ for your sin and mine. And how the Christ was crushed and his soul was made an offering for sin. Thank God he cried those words. It is finished. And son, remember he died. But thank God I do present to you tonight. No dead Savior. From up from the grave he arose. And I present a living Savior. And he came to save. And he promises to save. And thank God tonight. He lives to save. Can I ask you in closing? Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you all ye that pass by? The unrepentant thief, he died in the sight of the shed blood. He died in sight of the Savior. He died hearing Christ pray. He died in sight of Scripture. He died in sight of the one that was saved, his companion in crime. And yet tonight you've sat down, you've watched him there. And you could go out those doors tonight and be lost in God's hell for all eternity. Son, remember the Savior. Child of God tonight, is the life that you're living worth Christ dying? Is the life that you're living worth Jesus Christ dying.